You guys can't see it maybe from where you're seated, but you would know if you've been here previous weeks. On this side of the crossbeam are the words, teach me. Teach me. Those words come from Psalm 25, and they are a sort of guide for us through the season of Lent this year, burned into the staff that we are using week after week in worship. Teach me. Those words bring to mind the early church's practice of providing instruction and accompaniment for newcomers to the faith during the weeks leading up to Easter. The persons preparing for baptism were called catechumens. That word comes from a Greek root that literally means resounding in the ear. So these were people with their ears open, ready to listen, ready to hear, ready to be taught. Lent is still that sort of time. In lots of places, people are studying and preparing for baptism these weeks. And no matter how long we have been part of the church, we are all invited to open our ears wide, to let ourselves be instructed anew. Teach me. Those words point us to the central task of our faith, which Lent always brings us back to: following Jesus, learning his path, letting him guide us in ways of love and justice and service, a way that finally finds its fullest expression in the cross. Teach me. Those words also nudge us toward the particular focus that our congregation has chosen this season: learning to pray more deeply. There are many worthwhile and important places to look in Scripture for guidance in prayer, but this season we are particularly looking at the Psalms, letting them be our guide and letting them teach us to pray. Turns out they have plenty to teach. We have noted in past weeks how they instruct us in profound honesty, demonstrating a willingness to bring all that we are, all that is inside us, before God, whether that's neat and tidy or a great unholy mess. Fear, worry, bitterness, spite, anger, it's all okay to express. God can handle it. The Psalms teach us again and again. Honesty, coupled with a readiness to be changed, is really the foundation for prayer. We noted last week that the Psalms also model a posture of wonder before God. Prayer, we are taught, involves opening the smallness of our lives to the wideness of God's life, to the beauty of God's work in creation, to the gift of God's speaking to us, to the joy of being alive and recruited in this task of healing and blessing the world. When we pray, we step into that wide space of awe and wonder. Our psalm today teaches us something more besides. It teaches prayer as a refuge, a place of safety and security, a hiding place. I wonder if that idea puts some of you on your guard a little bit already. This is a congregation full of very engaged people, people with eyes open to the world and its needs, people who are committed to concerns of justice, to making the earth a better place for all of God's creatures. We are not looking for a faith that serves as an escape from the world, certainly not as a hiding place. But it is right there in the middle of our psalm today. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. This is familiar language in the Psalms. Several of them speak about God as a rock or refuge or hiding place, and several actually use this very image of being in the shadow of God's wing. What's going on here? Any commentary will tell you that this is mother hen language. Now, maybe some of you grew up around farm animals, and that is just totally obvious to you. I didn't, so this is an image that I don't readily connect with. But this past week, I read a short reflection that helped me. It's by Barbara Brown Taylor, who's a great preacher and also happens to raise chickens. She describes bringing home a new hen from a nearby farm and introducing it to one of her chicks who was without a mother and needed someone to care for it. First I lay on the grass while the new hen and the baby watched each other through the mesh of the cage, she says. Then I placed the hen inside. Both she and the baby froze. The baby cheeped. The hen did not move a feather. The baby cheeped again. The hen stayed right where she was. The baby took a few steps toward her. I held my breath. The gray hen lifted her wings, and the baby scooted right into that open door. When I checked on them an hour later, all I could see was a little guinea chick head poking out from under the gray hen's wing. It's pretty sweet, right? Taylor describes her hens regularly behaving this way, lifting their wings like an open door and taking in young chicks, regardless of whether or not they were their own. If the silhouette of a hawk passes overhead, the mama squawks and the little ones come running, diving beneath her wings. It is a place of warmth, of protection, of safety. And that is where the psalmist is singing from today. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. God is the hen, and we who pray are the little chicks, safe and secure in the mother's care, chirping away. It is a lovely image, but how are we to understand it alongside our calling to live engaged lives of service out there in the world? Well, I think it's worth remembering that Jesus himself modeled a life with rhythms that included regular times to seek refuge in prayer. When the disciples wake up and can't find him anywhere, chances are he has gone off by himself to some deserted place to pray. At crucial moments, after a great healing, or after John the Baptist has been killed, Jesus heads off by himself into the hills for a while. And he teaches his disciples to do the same thing. When they have just returned from their very first journeys without him, spreading the message of the gospel through nearby villages and towns, he invites them to a sort of retreat. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while, he says. For Jesus, there was clearly no conflict at all between a life of immersion in the world and its needs and prayer as a place of safety and renewal in the midst of it all. He knew his psalms. He took time to rest under God's wing, and he counseled his disciples to follow his example. So this is part of the gift of prayer, curling up alongside God and trusting that in God's care we are held just as we are. It is a place to rest, to let your guard down, to sing. And our psalm today points to what I think is a particularly beautiful dimension of this kind of prayer. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, the psalmist says, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. Satisfied is about as countercultural a word as I can think of today. Everything around us says that we should be unsatisfied with what we have, that we should instead want more. More money, more stuff, more likes, more followers, more influence, more entertainment, more thrills, more space, more, more, more. Our society is built around the altar of more. And it's not actually working out so well for us. We are plagued by anxiety and the fear of missing out. We are so busy with chasing after all that more that we can scarcely pay attention to what is there around us. Scores of people are left behind in the hustle while the privileged few rush on ahead. Our earth is groaning under our obsession with growth and consumption. Whole species are literally becoming extinct because of humanity's relentless pursuit of more. Satisfaction seems to have no place in the direction the world is headed. And yet that is what the psalmist knows here. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast. The Hebrew word that is translated as soul there doesn't just mean some wispy, airy part of a person. It means the wholeness of who one is, body and mind and spirit. My whole self is satisfied. What a beautiful thing to be able to say. It's just the sort of thing you might imagine when looking at a baby chick nestled under its mother's wing, right? I mean, really, what more does the baby need than the security and protection found right there? Of course, we can't and mustn't be satisfied with some things, with hurt or injustice or abuse. But it seems to me that returning to prayer as a place of safety, a place where we find ourselves deeply and truly satisfied, is vital not only for us as individuals, but also for our whole world. Taking regular time to pray in this way, where we're not actually asking for anything, where we're not trying to get anything, where we are simply being with God, practicing contentment, resting in the shadow of God's wing. Praying like that might actually help us find our way out of this pursuit of more that is taking such a profound toll in so many ways on us and on the world around us. It might be just what we need. I realize this might sound pretty dreamy and not all that realistic, but did you notice that the psalmist is not actually off in some extended spiritual retreat in a beautiful cabin in the woods? He's actually facing profound challenges. He's being pursued. There are people seeking his life, he says. He is in an uncertain place, and even there he is singing. Even there, he's diving under the mother hen's wing and finding himself satisfied as with a rich feast. That is a model for us, friends. God's wings are lifted, an open door, and we are invited to rest there at any time, to find ourselves held and protected. We will find ourselves called out again, of course. We will follow Jesus in caring for the sick and feeding the hungry and welcoming those left out and challenging oppressive and exclusionary structures and seeking a better world. We will do all that. And those wings will always be lifted, calling us back again and again, offering us a place, inviting us to come and rest and sing in the shadow. Thanks be to God. Amen.